keep me company down the front. There are a bunch of people away. There's a bunch of people who will have gone to Hornsey. A bunch of others will be somewhere sitting on picnic rugs in the countryside, because it's one of those rare things. It's a lovely, sunny weekend day. Let me pray for us as we gather properly. Father, thank you that we can come together at the end of the day. And we do pray for all of those who are away or aren't able to make it tonight for whatever reason. Please would you be with them as well as you're with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing a couple of songs back to back to get us going. Singing of God's greatness and his almighty power. So when the music begins, let's stand. Praise you. We worship you because you are the one with all the power. You are the one who's everlasting, the Ancient of Days. No beginning, no end. And yet, you love us and care for us. And we praise you for that. Amen. Please be seated. It's a little bit of church family news before we move on. First of all, our monthly prayer gathering is on Tuesday evening at St. Luke's this month. And that's 7:45, doors open. We'll probably open a bit before that, but there we go. 8 o'clock start. That's St. Luke's, Chestnut Avenue. There's the address up there, if you're not quite sure. What we do is we gather to start at 8 o'clock with probably a cup of tea and a biscuit in hand, which is great. And we'll sing a song or two and have a short Bible reading and think about that. And then we'll probably meet in one big circle, maybe two, depending how many people come. And we will pray through some things that need praying about. Nobody has to pray out loud if you don't want to, but it's very much worth coming even if you're not praying out loud, because there is something about the prayers of the people that God loves to hear. So if you're able to make it, do come. If you can't make it, don't come. But if you can, please do. That would be wonderful if we can gather to pray, to be devoted in prayer as we're hearing this morning. Secondly, vote for your favourite songs and hymns. Today is your last chance. Now, you can do that online. If you get Church Family News by email, there is a link on there to get that, I think. Isn't there, Liz? Yep, there is. If you don't want to do that online, there were some forms to fill in, but they've all been used. So there are some, there's back of Church Family News printouts. Do use that. So write your favourite five on there, and that will that will be just as good. Brilliant. Now, time out to get our grade matter going. Here we go. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Opportunity to think about that by yourself, or have a chat with somebody else, or a couple of other people. Why did Jesus teach in parables? You know, things like the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost sheep. Why did he teach in loads of parables? 3 minutes to chat. Go. Didn't say much, though. Down at the front here. Hope you did too. We will be thinking exactly about that question later on when we have our Bible reading and when I talk about that. We're going to sing once again now. We're going to sing of... We've sung that Jesus, the God, that Jesus is the one who is all-powerful, all of everything, that he's the one who has no beginning, no end. He will never finish. And we've sung that he calls us friend. And yet, how often do we forget to treat him as our friend and go the wrong way? Maybe on purpose, maybe by accident, maybe just thoughtlessly. Either doing things we shouldn't have done, saying things we shouldn't have done, failing to do the stuff that we ought to do, that he commands us to do, like love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbours as ourselves. The Bible tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful to his promises and just. He does what is right and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, spiritual muck, and give us another new start. So let's use this prayer to do exactly that, to come together before God to admit that we've messed up. We've messed up when he calls us friend. Let's have a moment of quiet just to think through the last week, the last day, the last few hours, the last few minutes before we admit our sin to God. Together we pray. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are. And direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Thank you, Father, that you promise absolutely, surely, and certainly to remove the sins of those who are truly repentant as far from us as the east is from the west. That's achieved through the death of Jesus, paying the price for our sin. And Father, we thank you so much that his real death in real history has paid the real price for our real sin. Amen. Let's continue in a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for your great goodness to us. Thank you for the beautiful weather we've been enjoying, the possibility of getting out and about a bit, and seeing the marvels of your creation. Thank you for blessing us with so many amazing things that you've made. Thank you that we can enjoy them. Thank you for your goodness to us in that respect. We do pray for those who can't get out and about, perhaps through illness, perhaps through so much work, perhaps through being carers for somebody else. Father, please would you be with them in this hot weather as people are talking about being out and about. And we pray for Christians in that situation that particularly they would look to you and remember the new creation to which they're heading towards, where everything will be as it should be and even better. And please keep us looking forward to that day when we see Jesus face to face in that new creation and the beautiful weather and the lovely environment that we have at the moment around us would pale into insignificance compared to what is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Father, we pray for the world around us and we mourn that there is so much war and so much strife across the world in different parts at the moment. Thank you that you are sovereign over all things, that you are really in charge. And we pray, Father, that you would bring wars to an end, that you would bring justice where there's a lack of justice at the moment, that you would have mercy on people who are suffering. We pray for Christians caught up in war-torn countries. Please, would you be with them? Even though they may not feel safe physically, please, would you remind them that they are safe spiritually? And even if they were to lose their lives, they would not lose their eternal life with you, and that they would be raised on the last day. Please keep them trusting Jesus, looking to him, and relying on him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Father, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that we can come before you by ourselves, with another person, with a small group, or as a church, or part of a church. And Father, we do pray that all of us would continue to grow in our prayerfulness. Please, would you remind us to pray? Would you give us ideas of what to pray for and how to pray? And please, would we love to come before you, our Father, speaking to you? And with that in mind, Lord, we pray for our prayer gathering on Tuesday night. Please, would ye free up people's diaries so that they can make it? And Father, we ask that we would be a church, two churches, St. Andrew's and St. Luke's, together, praying regularly together and asking ye to be working in our lives, in our churches, in our community, and praising you for all you're doing and all you've done. And we pray this in Jesus' name too. Amen. As Jesus taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. What a privilege it is to come before the Creator of everything and to be able to talk to him, our Father, and bring him all that we need to bring to him. We're going to sing a song which is a prayer again. It's a song which is a prayer asking God to prepare our hearts to hear his words and to help us to respond well to what he's going to teach us from his word in a few moments' time. Let's stand to sing, Show Us Christ. That you would show us Christ as your word is read and opened up now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please do be seated, and Joshua's going to come and read our Bible reading for us.
Our reading is from Matthew 13, 1-17, and can be found on page 978 in the Church Bibles. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them through parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Thank you very much, Joshua, for reading so clearly.
Can we have the lecture? There we go, that's better. Otherwise, you'll have to hear me twice, once through this mic and once through that one, and that will be no good. Let me pray once more. Father, thank you for your word, and we do pray that you'd help us to understand what it is that Jesus taught that seems a little bit counterintuitive sometimes. So please help us to understand. Amen. We love stories, don't we? At least most of us do. We love children's stories. I was brought up on Janet and John books quite a lot, which I think some of us would have been. But there was another book called The Old Woman Who Lived in a Shoe that I absolutely loved. And it was about an old woman who lived in a shoe. And I took it home from school and I wanted to keep it at home. It was just such a great story. Sadly, I had to take it back at the end of the school year. I'd never seen another copy since. I cried and cried. We might like great movies. We've probably all got a famous movie that we like the most. Apparently, the most favourite movie of everybody is The Shawshank Redemption. I've never seen it. We've got it, but I've never actually seen it. I think it's one of those ones that everybody has to say is their favourite, because that's de rigueur. But there we go. Maybe it is your favourite. I like The Sound of Music, but there we go. Actually, my favourite is Forrest Gump. Absolutely love Forrest Gump. I cannot get through it without crying my eyes out. There's an admission. We like stories that take us off into another land, don't we? Lots of the stories that we remember from childhood or that we like reading now or watching now take us off to somewhere which is either like this world but better or worse, or is a completely different place that's totally different. We like stories with a meaning. You know, when you go to the movies and you come out and you thought, that's made me think. We quite like movies like that sometimes, don't we? Stories that get you thinking about the theme that it's introduced. And we probably like Jesus' parables as well. There's some great stories in Jesus' parables, aren't there? Joshua just read one for us. The parable of the sower. Of the farmer, of course, the people Jesus is talking to, they'd have all known a farmer if they weren't a farmer themselves. They'd have all seen farmers scattering their seed across their field. They didn't have big tractors like Jeremy Clarkson to put the seeds down in deep down into the soil. What they had was, a pouch and a hand to scatter. And it would go in different places. People would relate to that. They'd think, oh yeah, I know what that's like. There are some really, really famous parables. The parable of the lost sheep. We love that one, don't we? That God goes looking for the person who is lost and brings them back to the sheepfold. We love the parable of the Good Samaritan. The poor bloke gets beaten up on his way on the road, and two people who should have stopped and helped him don't, but the one who really wouldn't be expected to did and went above and beyond to make sure he was all right. Some great stories there. So why did Jesus teach in parables? Was it just that because we love stories? Or here's a thought. Is it that God has made us to love stories so that we can understand parables, or at least we're drawn in by parables and by other stories, true stories in the Bible? Jesus taught in parables to teach his people more deeply. We've got some slides up here. Oh, no, we haven't got any slides today, have we? No, I forgot to do slides, sorry. There we go. Jesus taught in parables to teach his people more deeply. Verse 10, have a look at your Bible passage there. Verse 10 in Matthew 13. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Really good question, because the disciples would be looking out to the crowds, or they'd be amongst the crowds, and people would be scratching their heads and they would notice this. People would say, "Well, what's he on about now? He's supposed to be a religious teacher. Why is he telling us about a farmer? Why is he telling us about some people who have buried some treasure? Why is he telling us these things? We don't understand." So the disciples come back to Jesus and say, "Why do you speak to them in parables of all things?" Verse 11, he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance." Right. So we've got it now, say the disciples. Although I'm not sure they would have done, would they? What does Jesus mean here? He means, I think, that if your heart, your mind is being opened up slowly but surely to Jesus himself by the work of the Holy Spirit, working through the words of the Bible, and for those originally who are in the Bible, working in their hearts as Jesus spoke to them in front of them, if that's happening to you, if it's happened to you and it's continuing to happen to you, then the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. You have been given spiritually by God's Holy Spirit knowledge of some amazing stuff. The most amazing, most important truths that there are. Truths about God. Truths you couldn't guess. Truths that have to be revealed to us by God himself, working by his Spirit through his word, the Bible. And then verse 12. Whoever has this knowledge, whoever has God's Holy Spirit working within them, teaching them through the word, will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Remember, this is Jesus answering the question, why do you teach in parables? So as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, so we are taught a deeper meaning to those parables, a meaning that's available to everybody, but is only understood deeply as the Holy Spirit allows us to understand. And this, I think this shows us that there's no new truths in the Bible. It's all speaking the one message, that God is the wonderful creator who loves his people. He's made us. He called us to follow him. People way back at the beginning, Adam and Eve, went their own way. Everybody's done that since. And God is calling a people back to himself and making that possible through Jesus, who died and rose again and will come back again to judge the living and the dead, and all of those people who trust in him will be taken to heaven. That is the Bible in a nutshell. There is nothing new beyond that. But as God allows us, so we get to know more about those truths. We get to understand them more deeply. And the way Jesus teaches in parables, in story form, teaches in a different way, allows us to think more deeply than if he just said in scientific factual ways of what happens. The stories give us a rounded understanding, give us an emotional connection with what Jesus is teaching. And we can enter in to those stories. Verse 12 continued, whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. You see, Jesus taught in parables so that nobody can claim to have worked out his meaning for themselves. You see, it'd be very easy, wouldn't it? And we've probably all read, we might have been in the past, people who hear about Jesus, hear Bible truths, or what at least we think might be Bible truths, and we think, but I've got a defeater for that idea, because let me tell you why that's wrong. We might have been that person in the past. We might know that person today. It could be that we're that person already. I don't know. But Jesus talks in parables because parables, the story form, gets beyond that but moment. You can't work out for yourself the deepest, truest meaning of the parables without God revealing them to you. It's impossible to do. It's impossible to kind of tick it off and say, well, I got there first. Jesus taught in parables so that nobody can claim to have worked out his meaning by themselves. This is why I speak to them in parables, verse 13. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand. That sounds a little bit, I don't know, weird, doesn't it? How can you possibly see without seeing? How can you possibly hear without hearing? Well, I think the last word in that little verse is the key one, isn't it? Or understand. It's very possible to see something, you're looking at it, but you've got no clue what it is. Those pictures that went round in the 1990s, 2000s, of when you look at the picture and stand back a bit and look in a certain way, suddenly it's very clear there's an elephant there, and you thought it was just dots to start with. It's a bit like that, but on such more important scale with these parables. Yeah, the parable of the sower is about a farmer. Great story about a farmer. But actually, this is a spiritual story, a story about God and how his word spreads and how people do or don't respond to his word. It's very true that if you scatter seed onto a path, well, the birds will eat it up. But that's if you hear the gospel and it's like water off a duck's back, it just disappears off. You don't pay it a second thought. It's very true that if you scatter seed on the path, on the rocky ground rather, any sort of soil that's full of too many rocks, yes, it will start to grow, but it will never be able to put roots down. It's very true. Great story, Jesus. But the deeper meaning, and he will explain it to his parables, to his disciples in verse 18 and beyond, which we're not reading tonight, but you can look at that later if you would like. The deeper meaning there is if you hear the word, but you're so excited to start with, but you start to lose interest. You never really put roots down. If you're worried about that, listen to the sermon series on Colossians online that we've heard here recently. It's true that if you plant your seeds along weeds, they'll get strangled and disappear off. Life will get in the way of following Jesus. Other things will take priority in the end. And it's true that if you plant your seed in the best place, it will grow brilliantly. Yes. Spiritually speaking, if the good news of Jesus, if the gospel lands in the heart of somebody who is ready to hear and wants to hear and comes to God humbly, wanting to understand, he will enable it to grow and grow and grow. Those who don't want to hear will never hear. Those who don't want to see will never perceive what it really is. Those whose heart have become calloused, hardened, that is. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes to the gospel. This is the prophecy from Isaiah. It's absolutely true. This is what happens when people hear the parables and don't really want to hear what Jesus has to say and take it as a nice story from a wise teacher in the past, at best, then the meaning of the parables will be closed off to them. God will not open the heart of somebody who does not want their heart opened. God will not allow somebody to understand who does not want to understand. Why? Because otherwise they might see with their eyes, they might work it out for themselves. They might hear with their ears. They might understand with their hearts, except they won't really. And they might think they turn and demand that God would heal them, sort them out. But this is God's work, God's gracious work. God opens our hearts through the parables, through other Bible truths, through lots of the Bible, all of the Bible, helps us to understand with our spiritual eyes, with our listening ears, with our soft, open hearts. So blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people, people from the Old Testament in the past, long to see what you see, disciples, Jesus in front of you, long to see what we see, what everything that's been written about Jesus, the eyewitness of him. They didn't see it. They didn't hear it. We have. What a wonderful thing this is. And we go deeper into Jesus as we consider the parables, as we hear the stories that Jesus teaches in, and as we let those sink deep down into our hearts at a brain level and at an emotional level. And as he teaches us, as he warms us up, as he pushes it further down into us and makes us more and more sure of its truth, the truth of the gospel, and more loving of our Lord Jesus, who loves us more than we could possibly imagine. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you spoke in parables that go deep down into us. Please help us to have soft hearts, listening ears, spiritually seeing eyes, and help us to know you better through the stories that you teach. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to finish off with a couple of songs, two songs about what God is doing, one about his word speaking to us, and one about the wonderful Saviour we have who's building his church. Let's stand to sing. For they see, and your ears, for they understand, for they hear, rather. For truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Amen. Please do be seated.